Okay, welcome everybody to the April Re-Meeting of Council. I'll declare the meeting open at 4:30. We have all our members of council in attendance except for Councillor Hutton. An apology. We have our staff in attendance. And we have much nicer not to be able to hear.
Yeah, they'll get a
bowl either. Sorry to everybody for that interruption. Right, so we're back to our visitor. We have Miss Therese Nichols in attendance today. Don't have anybody on an approved leave of absence. So we'll go to three, response to previous questions taken on notice. Miss Nichols, given that you're here with us in the chamber, did you wish to read your question out?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm happy to read them out.
Yes,
so
just state your name and address.
So, Jane Eagles, 21 Adams Street Training. These were sent via email in advance. Question one, was the $12,000 paid to Wax Rental for the Cunlop Medical Practice for the full cost or just the shower training portion? Why does doctor's surgery show via Google Maps and other sources, 45 Hughes Street, Cunlopin? Of a significant number of over 90 of the government-funded schemes that the Cunlopin Medical Practice could be eligible for have been successful, and which ones are current in the 25-26 financial year? And how does council have oversight over the financial impact of this service that's never been reflected in the accounts separately or commented on in the annual reports? How did Neurop come to be given the financial status of this service to be able to advocate for the federal government for more funding? What percentage of rate revenue has been allocated to this service? And just, Madam President, if you would like to know the reason why I've asked this question, it's not actually a financial question. It's actually to understand the service before I commit to having to do 3 years and 700 hours of clinical practice. And it's to determine which stream that I'm doing to fall into to benefit the community. And the councillors obviously would know what that was because this came up 10 years ago. This is a continuation. So these aren't having a go at council. These aren't in any way negative. These are actually trying to determine the position because I have to pay for 700 clinical hours in the master's degree. And this commenced 10 years ago. So that's, I just want to make that clear to council. You may not have come across that way, but no one asked.
Thanks, Ms. Nichols. Appreciate that. Peter, would you like to read the response
for us, please? That. Yep. Question one, response. The payment relates specifically to the hire of the medical rooms at the Cunnanoppen Hospital and is the Shire of Training responsibility. Question two, the doctor's surgery was previously operated from the doctor residence. Since its relocation to the hospital, information has been updated from a Shire perspective, but Google has still not recognised. Question three, as the KMP is a privately owned and run practice. It's up to the provider to apply for any grants that may be available. Question four, it's considered a community service and payments are made in accordance with the contract. Contract payments are included in the materials and contract area within the financial statements. Information provided to NEUROC was the contract price and percentage repayments to training as per the agreement between the participating shires. The net cost to the training shire is about 3.26% of the rate income.
Thank you, Peter. Ms. Nichols, did you have any other further questions for council today?
No, the council would like to know more information about the rate, and I'll ask them that. They're more than welcome to show you. But if you go back 10 years, you'll actually see where that shows up 10, 11 years ago in council records and in the news.
Lovely, thank you. Thanks for taking an interest in what we're doing. Always appreciate our people to come in and ask questions.
I will put it on the record because I think it's actually important for councillors to know. If you're aware, I actually was a carer for a person who was a quadriplegic. There's a very funny rule between they were eligible for aged care. That rule actually still does apply. They're actually going into the aged care system at under 65. I took that aged care package apart. Within the rules, I put it back together. The only person that wasn't happy was a provider. That provider is still currently practicing. And last year, they made $3.2 million profit within the wheat belt. I raised this with council 10 years ago. We don't have the services and we're relying on the NPS. The NPS has been running since 2008. and it hasn't come up with solutions. I did not go through a Royal Commission for a few words. So I'm somebody who presented, so that's why I'm not having this meeting, because people are still not good enough for the age.
Thanks, Ms. Nichols, appreciated. No other visitors, so I will declare public question time closed at 12:45 p.m. We'll move on to item number 5, application for and previously approved leave of absence and disclosures of interest. There are no applications previously approved. Does anybody like to apply for leave of absence? No. 5.3, are there any disclosures of interest? Yeah. Disclosures. 6, petitions, deputations and presentations. There is none.
Haven't we said anything?
7, confirmation of minutes. 7.1 from the ordinary meeting of council. Been advised that there is possibly a typographical error in the last minutes by Councillor Barnes. This relating to page 26, Councillor Norton's initials are.
So,
who's that? Just to make sure we're keeping it all it should be.
My apologies.
Thank you. If I could have somebody to move that recommendation, please, with that change. Thank you, Councillor Barnes. Yep. Thanks, Councillor Norton. Second. Did you have anything further to add, Councillor Barnes?
No.
Nope.
Any other councillors?
No.
Those in favour? Nobody against? That's carried. 7.2, other committees. 7.2.1, the Wheatbelt Rail Trail Steering Committee. If I could have a move for that, please. Thanks, Councillor Harkin. Need a second. Thank you, Councillor Leslie. Councillor Harkin, did you wish to speak on it?
No, I'd just like to put my apologies that I couldn't make that meeting. Thank you to Councillor Norton for getting me.
Thank you. Councillor Leslie?
No.
All those in favour of the recommendation? There's nobody against? Carried. 8, announcement by presiding member without discussions. There is none. 9, reports. 9.1, regulatory services. 9.2, finance report. Peter.
Yes, our apologies for not having any finance reports. As you're aware, our finance system went down for a bit over 2 weeks, and since it's been back up and running, the finance staff have had to go back into the system and reload all of the processes that were done over that period of time. So it's all up to date now, and we'll get 2 lots of financial statements to the next meeting. So apologies for that. Fortunately, we couldn't do a lot about it.
Sometimes things are out of our control. 9.3, Chief Executive Officer. 9.3.1, the appointment of the Community Development Officer. Go to you again, Peter.
Yes, just in that report, the risk implications, there is an error there under the risk, so we'll fix that up in relation to the, where it says the ongoing maintenance of the trail will have an impact on future budgets, as whether events have the potential to erode rail surface. That's they picked up from another area. It's probably lie doing, I would think. But anyhow, yes. Well, Angelique came to town. Council has met Angelique earlier on in the forum. She came to town and purchased the old Anglican church house, and she's interested in a 0.5 position, not full-time work, because she's got a lot of work to do on her house. And in talking to her about her skills and her experience working with the City of Melville and other metropolitan councils and some state government departments in relation to project management, we felt that she was an ideal person to bring on board for a short period of time and understand all the projects that we're trying to achieve, but we simply just run out of time trying to do it, you know, with our current level of staff. And I think she's got the capacity to, you know, to do a lot of good for us, in not only in, you know, the town sites of training coming up in the New Albany, but in the wider areas as well, and attract you know, groups to town or to the district to do you know, to run events and these sorts of things. So with a bit of luck, it'll all play out. Well, I guess the proof will be in the pudding in the next 6 to 12 months, I guess. But yeah, hopefully that'll work.
Yes, as Peggy said, we all had the opportunity to be introduced to Angelique earlier at the forum, and it seems like she's got some good things in mind for us. She's prepared a report that we can look at tomorrow.
Yep.
Just noting that the recommendation is acknowledging the appointment. We're not actually deciding the appointment has been made, we're just acknowledging that we're in favour. If we have someone to move that, please. Councillor Harkin. 3 seconds. Councillor Harkin, did you wish to speak on that?
No.
Councillor Barnes?
No.
Any other councillors? Those in favour of that? Nobody against? 9.3.2, the local government inspector. Information is just for noting, but we will need to move and second it. Peter, would you like to give a little bit of a background?
Yeah, just the role took effect from, the 1st of January 2026. Tony Brown, who is the local government inspector, has got in-depth knowledge of local government. He was a CEO in local government for many years, and then in the last decade or so, he's been working in a top position with the WA Local Government Association. So he's got a very good handle on local government operations and the compliance requirements and all of those sorts of things. And as you can see from the background in the report, there's a lot of powers that the local government inspector has got. And I think I included as a report in the agenda because it's really important that councillors are aware, of his appointment and the role that they play and responsibilities that they have.
Thanks, Peter. Yes, I'll just reiterate what Peter said. It is really important as council that you read through that document and keep that with you, because it does go over all things that inspector has power over or control over. And I think the government has done a great job in appointing Tony Brown into that role, and he has that vast experience. And I think for our area and our zone, we're very lucky. We had a lot of people playing over the years, even of our Great Eastern Country Zone, and have always been approachable and very knowledgeable for anything to do with local government. So I think he will be a very fair person in the role, but also brings with him a lot of knowledge that he can impart to councils if they need it. So I think it's been a good move on the state government's behalf to appoint Tony into that role. If I would have somebody to move that recommendation, thank you. Councillor Leslie, need a second. Thanks, Councillor McHugh. Councillor Leslie, would you wish to speak on the report? Councillor McHugh?
No, but I'd just like to appreciate Peter for actually including that in the agenda as well, so just as an update. So,
any other councillors wish to speak on it? All those in favour? Nobody against? 9.3.3, review of the code of conduct for elected members, committee members and candidates.
Yep, once again, councillors, there's with the amendments to the Local Government Act and the compliance requirements that have been put on the council are making councillors and staff more accountable for everything that we do. They amended the councillor's code of conduct to include committee members and candidates. And so it was necessary that we had to go through this process to adopt the new code for the elected members, committee members and the candidates. And as you can see from the attachment to the agenda, it's far reaching, and then there's a lot of compliance stuff there that we have to follow.
Yes, once again, I'd encourage you all to keep that code of conduct within reach at all times, and to make sure that you're aware of what it is that we need to be performing in our roles. Could have somebody to move the recommendation, please. Thank you, Councillor Barnes. Need a second. It's Councillor Norman. Councillor Barnes, did you wish to speak?
No.
Councillor Norman? No. Any other councillors? All those in favour of the recommendation? Nobody against? 9.4.1, the manager of works report.
Thank you, Madam President. The report is pretty straightforward. It's just to inform councils or councillors of what we're actually up to in a more formal way. Through transparency open, there was attachment sent out with the report as to where we currently are with capital works, operational works. We know we spoke about in the forum is the changing of, you know, fuel costs and the daily running of business, and I'll keep council informed every month through this process from moving forward.
Great, thank you, Paul. I think it's a really good initiative to have this report included within our agenda, as we spoke of it. Sure, we're transparent and know what we're up to, where we're at with our budget and our roadworks program. Thanks for that, Paul. Very well put together report too. Thank you. If I could have somebody to move that recommendation. Thank you, Councillor Harkin. Ready to second? Thanks, Councillor Leslie. Councillor Harkin, did you wish to speak on that?
No, I think Paul Davids and what the crew are doing, especially with what's the resources and costs of everything they're doing at the moment, and I think they're doing a great job. So I just, yeah, continue to keep on doing so.
Councillor Leslie? Any other councillors? All those in favour of the recommendation? Nobody against? New business of an urgent nature? None? There are no matters for which the meeting may be closed. Declare this meeting closed at 4:58 p.m. Thank you, everyone, for your attendance.